Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
And here are some of the news stories on MichaelSavage.com, home of the Savage Nation, where borders, language, and culture rule the day. Top right, Libya elections, as I predicted, Muslim Brotherhood set to lead in Libya. This is what Libyans wanted. Islamists. Is this what Hillary wanted?
And allegiance to the same.
Is this what
Obama
wanted? Is this what Soros wanted?
Perhaps that was the most cynical soundbite of my entire 18-year radio career. That's Janet Napolitano of the Department of Homeland Security swearing in, I guess, their citizens. I think they were illegal aliens who were instantly made citizens. I can't remember what it was on July 4th. But the thing is, many of us are afraid of the Department of Homeland Security. A new report's come out from DHS, which defines anyone who believes in limited government as a potential terrorist. Now, if you think I'm making this up, that's your loss. Your Department of Homeland Security is not concerned with Muslims who may be wanting to blow up airplanes or Muslims who want to create another World Trade Center disaster. No, but it's anyone in America who believes in limited government is now on the radar of Janet Napolitano's gang at DHS. We have now created a monster within this country. A monster within this country. Shall I read you the rest of the report that's come out of who the DHS now considers an enemy? Who is she to swear people in and uphold the Constitution when she doesn't uphold the Constitution? Does Big Sis uphold the U.S. Constitution, in your opinion? A woman who has fundamentally said the borders don't matter with Mexico. A woman who says to Border Patrol agents, run away when a drug gang points a gun at you. Is she upholding the Constitution of what, of Mexico? Well, that's the story. Unemployment. Want to talk about unemployment? Fast and furious. The soiled White House. Obama's handling of Iran. His bungling of the Pakistan issue. The bungling of the North Korea issue. The bungling of the issue of Egypt. What would you like to talk about? I mean, I got a lot of topics here. I'm open mic to mic. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. There's a newsletter that we put out, that World Net Daily puts out based on the radio show. With little, you know, things from the show. And here's a list of them over the last month. Let's see. Obama is a tyrant of the highest order. CNN's failing ratings tell you why Obama is going to lose in November. Well, that was then. Chief Justice Roberts is a turncoat. Bill O'Reilly is a sexist fraud. Shall I go on? I mean, I read any of these. There's a good one on O'Reilly. Surprised he hasn't run it. Shall I read that to you again in case you missed it? Savage criticized Fox News host Bill O'Reilly for siding with Chief Justice Roberts on the Obamacare decision, as well as for using women on his TV show as eye candy. Savage told listeners the following. He said, we have a real problem when Fox parades itself as a conservative network. They have the audacity to have Bill O'Reilly get up there and stare into the camera and say that Chief Justice Roberts is a brave man and an honest man who did a conservative thing. That's an utter lie. That is absolute propaganda. How does a malarkey thrower like Bill O have a TV show? I know why he lost his radio show. Radio is a different medium. You can't use cute women with nice legs and lipstick to boost your ratings. You have to base your show on what you're saying. All you have on radio is your voice and your mind and your guts. And O'Reilly has none of those. That's why he flopped in radio. But how does he get away with it on television, I ask? And here's the conclusion if you don't want to hear it. It's because of the ditzy girls he has on the show as eye candy. I think that's his biggest claim to ratings. Viewers can't wait to see O'Reilly bring another leg crosser up so that he can pretend that he's talking to them. And he's doing, and what he's doing is using them just like any other sexist uses a woman. That's one man's opinion. So if you want to get serious, you can get serious. If you want to get unserious, I get the feeling people are so burned out by now, they don't know what to say about anything. See, we have the election running. On one hand, we have an animated, psychotic liar lying about his own past and lying about what he's done and going to do for America. On the other hand, we have a man who's on autopilot. It looks like he's gone to sleep with a hand. I looked at a picture of Romney. I'm going to vote for him. Let me be very clear. I would vote for anybody against Obama. Anybody would be a better choice for the sake of my sleeping and sanity in the future of America than the communist in the White House. So let's start with that. But there's a picture on Drudge of Romney that shocked me. I had dinner with him a few years ago. He probably wouldn't want me to remember it, so I'll probably post the picture on my website shortly just to rile his advisors who are running him off the road. There's a picture of Romney on the Drudge Report where his hand looks like that of a chimpanzee. It's very it's hairy and it's very small-handed. It doesn't match his hand. I don't know. Did you Photoshop that picture? It's shocking. Romney has a very hairy right hand. Arm. The right arm's very hairy, and the hand looks very tiny for a man of his size. What does that have to do with anything? I did an analysis once on all of the previous modern elections, and I said years ago that whoever has more hair wins in elections. But I may have to modify that and do a study of hand size, and go back to Grover Cleveland and see who had the biggest hand before the election. And what's this with Ann Romney saying that he's thinking of a woman as a VP candidate? I pray it's not you-know-who. I pray that they're not running it up the flagpole to see if we vote for a Romney, Yashur, mush-mush ticket. I'll tell you, that would be the end of the road. If he ever chose mush-mush for a VP candidate, I don't know what I would do. I don't think it could get worse than that. How could he make a bigger mistake than choosing mush-mush? Now, a Romney-Hillary ticket, that might be a winner. They probably agree on more than they disagree on. That's number one. But I think that would broaden his ticket and his appeal. I'm going to vote for him. Don't get me wrong. What else do you want to talk about? I don't understand it. Who works anymore but me? Am I the only man left in America who works? Everyone's gone. The roads are empty in the San Francisco area. Thank God the weather is good. You really hear me complaining. Gorgeous weather. Oh, you have no idea how why we moved out here, why prices are so high. The people are from Forget About Ville, like the Night of the Living Dead, the people in San Francisco. The Italian food, think of it this way. The Italian food in San Francisco compared to, let's say, New York Italian food. Let me give you a comparison. If you go to a New York Italian restaurant, you can still get a pork chop vinegar pepper. Here, that the Italians never heard of it. So I'm going to do a reversal of an old Lenny Bruce line and tell you this. Let's see. How did he say it? He said, I don't remember. I don't even remember Lenny Bruce's lines anymore. It was too long ago. He's like gone for 50 years. Who remembers him? It's about the ethnicity, what happens to it when it gets out west. It kind of disappears. It gets blanded out. It's all like the Olive Garden out here. All Italian food on the west coast is like Olive Garden. If you're hungry, I recommend it. But you're not going to get any flavor. Oh, no. Someone got it. Someone said mush mush is who we need. They got the symbolism. She came out the other day and she said that she thought the Supreme Court did the right thing. And there's Russia. She could see Russia from her sled. How could you vote for her? How could you vote for that woman? Women detest mush-mush, by the way. Women distrust mush-mush and they detest her. Okay, I knew that you're going to call me on that.
Savage.
I guess the reason I'm comparing New York Italian to San Francisco Italian, well, it's like this. Okay, everyone knows that, let's say, out of New York, you can't get Jewish food. It's impossible. It doesn't exist. Probably doesn't exist anywhere in the world anymore, nor should it, since it's poison. But for those who lived in New York at a certain time, a certain type of food that was considered to be Jewish food, which never was, because I'm an anthropologist before being a world-famous nutritionist, the fact of the matter is that what you think is Jewish food is 19th century Polish holiday food. Nobody could eat that food and survive past the age of 47. It's not Jewish food. Jewish food is Yemenite food. Arab Yemen food is Jewish food. That's the food of the desert. What you think is Jewish food is not. It's 19th century Polish food. It's like the Orthodox Jews, God bless them, they wear black. You say, why do they wear that outfit? Why do they wear the black hats with the black outfits in the sun? Is that Jewish? No, it's not in the Bible. You don't believe Abraham walked around with a black top coat and a fur hat, do you? So where'd the clothing come from? They got stuck somewhere in the 19th century in Romania or Poland. I don't know how. I don't know why they don't update their outfits. Everybody changes the outfit. Why are they wearing 19th century Polish business suits? I don't get that. It's the same as Jewish food doesn't exist. But, okay, for those of you who think it exists and like it, you can get it in New York. You can't get it outside of New York. It's the same with Italian food. You could try, but it's not there. It's ersatz everything. Everything is ersatz Western. It is true. I've lived out here for so long, I'm jaundiced. I may actually have to move to New York. I'm starting to think about it. I know it's insane, right? Move back to the heart of the monster. Well, all my ancestors are buried there. It's probably a time to, like, the elephant it's like the elephant burial grounds time. No, that's a terrible thing to say. I really mean that. It's terrible, but, you know, wherever I turn it. You see, here's another thing about the realism of New York. If you drive in New York, you can't go too far anywhere without seeing a cemetery. In San Francisco, there are no cemeteries. You can't see them. They're hidden. So everyone thinks they're immortal. Of course, they die just as everyone else. But you never see funerals. In Chinatown, you see a funeral with lights on, and they have a band that marches in front of it over the Green Street Mortuary, which I painted in 1981. And the Italian owner came running out thinking I was, like, doing something. He saw me across. I was painting in those years. I discovered some of my watercolor. You want to hear this story? Oh, this you're not going to believe. An art dealer came over to my house with a painting he was trying to sell me that I asked about. I buy oil painting. So I said, let me just show you something. I found some of my oils from my watercolors from the 80s. He said, I don't believe this. Savage. He said, they're as good as Miro. I said, what? I thought that they were just, he said, you can't believe what you've painted here. So he wants me to do a whole show in his gallery of my watercolors that exist only between 1978 and 1981. Would you believe this? So that's the point is I'm a man with tremendous diversity in a world where they talk about diversity when you have no diversity. I must tell you, I celebrated yesterday by sleeping all afternoon, had a vegetarian dinner. Then I got completely depressed. I watched a show on the euthanasia of animals. I almost died listening to it. I could the screams. It was an animal about a show about dogs I stumbled on around 11 o'clock. And then it was about a piece on how they gas them. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what I was watching. A dog sleeping next to me in the bed. You know, I'm a dog lover, right? Up to a point. They show them putting them into a gas chamber. Puppies, grown-ups, by the neck, throwing them in somewhere in the geek south somewhere. I don't know. Closing the top and then turning the gas valve open. And you hear the screams of the dog as they're dying. I couldn't sleep all night. First of all, I thought of the Jews in the gas chambers, number one. Then I thought of the death of the dogs. 2 million dogs a year are killed because of they're just too many bred. And yet, you know, it's a crazy situation. I love when they say, have you fixed Teddy? I don't like the word fixed. You mean, have I mutilated him? Have I cut his thing off? No, I have not. And he hasn't mounted. He has not impregnated a dog. You don't have to do that to a dog. Just keep him away from a female. What do you have to do it for if you have him under control? Who's he going to do it to in my house? What do I have to turn him into a nun dog? You think I have to turn him into a Democrat by cutting off his male part? No, I like a full male dog. I like the friskiness. I like the aggressiveness. I like the fun of the dog. I'm not hurting anyone. Was it a crime? Ugh. I couldn't sleep. The sound of those poor puppies screaming. Then they open the top after they're dead. And the nerve, they take other dogs now on top of the dead ones and throw puppies in there while they're living. Again, they close the top and turn it again. And I thought of Zyklon B, Auschwitz, Treblinka, Dachau. It started coming back to me. I said, I can't believe what I'm watching. What do you want? What are you supposed to do with them? How many can you adopt? See, there's certain things. Here's what the Bible meant. When Eve ate of the apple of knowledge, you understand what that means? There's only so much that you can take in as a man until you crack up. There's only so much you can take in as a citizen until you break. There's only so much you can take in until you give up, throw up, back up. You know what I'm saying? And that's where we're at in this country. Obama and his team have overwhelmed America with one socialist policy after another to the extent that they've overwhelmed the citizenry. And I watched him, and I'll tell you what I saw. I saw an almost demonic young man who has unlimited energy to destroy this country. That's what I saw. An animated liar. I had to turn the TV off. He gets me enraged now. I can't watch him. I know he's a liar through it. Look, all politicians are politicians. They make it up. This guy's lies are so big, they're frightening. Talks about the rich should pay their fair share. He gets all his money from the rich. The super rich give him the money. Who is he kidding? Are the people that stupid, I ask myself? I turn it off. Then there's Mitt Romney on water skis on the other screen. Then there's Ann Romney saying he might pick a woman on the next screen. Then there's dogs being gassed on another screen. Then there's, you don't know which way to turn. It's just the apple, you know what I'm saying? It's like you want to turn the whole thing down and just eat, you know, pork, vinegar, pepper, and drink a bottle of wine. So what's the difference? You're not listening.
His ruling maintaining the legality of Obamacare is actually a conservative decision. Judicial activism means judges make laws from the bench, and right-leaning Americans hate that. So Roberts did not want to overturn a law that had been passed by Congress.
I am told by two sources with specific knowledge of the court's deliberations that Roberts initially sided with the conservatives in this case and was prepared to strike down the heart of this law, the so-called individual mandate.
You know, no, I don't know where anyone. I think they went to sleep. I think the country's medicated beyond this. I think the country's medicated beyond the point of salvation. I know the politicians are medicated. I can look at them and tell you right now. I could probably pick them out of a lineup who's on medication. And what shocks me is that if you take a job, you have to pee in a cup to get the job at a corporation, not them. So there's a lot to talk about. Believe me. Department of Homeland Security has now turned on the American people. Here's a report that just came out from PJ Media. Department of Homeland Security on the Big Sis, which says that the following people should be looked at. Groups of individuals who believe the government is stripping Americans of their freedoms and is attempting to establish a totalitarian regime are now potential terrorists. Anyone who believes in big government, in small government, is a potential terrorist.
Savage. You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
So, you know, they're trying to portray him in a light that is just completely wrong.
Why? Why is that?
Well, it's politics, as Mitt said. And, you know, I think early on we heard what their strategy was. It was kill Romney. And, you know, that was their memo that came out from their campaign. And it's like, not when I'm next to him, you better not.
The president's going on a bus tour. He's got no new answers. All he's saying is, let's go government some more.
Well, I feel like all he's doing is saying, let's kill this guy.
Well,
and I feel like that's not really a very good campaign policy.
I think you should nominate a woman. We've been looking at that, and I'd love that option as well. So, you know, there's a lot of people that Mitt is considering right now.
Do you have a favorite?
I like to think that I have a few that I really like a lot.
And Governor?
What she said.
They're a nice couple, very nice. And they're not running against a nice guy. They're running against an extremely mean communist, in my estimation. Just check out his policies. We don't need nice guys running against Obama. Where's the mean? When does the mean? Okay, when does the mean start? When does he show his spine? Let's put it to you that way. He's putting people to sleep. The man is like a snooze button. Romney's become like a snooze alarm. Even middle of the road is like the Weekly Standard. We're about as middle of the road, intelligent middle of the road, middle of the road nevertheless. Even they're saying, wake up, you can't run a defense at this stage of the game. You're not winning. Even they. Even Crystal, the rich boy's son who inherited the magazine, even he has come to understand something's wrong. Even Trump has said he's got to dump. Trump has said he's got to dump the handlers, which I said a year ago. They were listening to me. Murdoch said he's got to get rid of the handlers. Murdoch, the man who fears Michael Savage more than anyone else on the planet and works with the others inside the Purple Gang, the Irish Mafia at Fox News to keep me off the network. even though I've defended him in Trickle Up Poverty, that's the strangest part. I write the greatest legal defense of Murdoch with his travails in England of anyone ever. And the man doesn't even understand how he stands in his own way. It's his loss. I don't really care. But the point is, even he is saying Romney has to get rid of his advisors. They're undermining him, which I've been saying for a year. So I don't even want to audio. You really care about this? No one cares about this. If I said to you I'd like recipes for meatballs, I'd get better calls than talking to you about the two meatballs running for the president. You know, that's all there is to it. Look at this schmuck, Alec Baldwin. Look at this putz. The man supposedly on a honeymoon, now he's announcing he wants to be a mayor. The most hated man in New York City. The most arrogant, hated, dim man in the history of American politics. This man thinks he could be. It shows you how out of touch these people are with reality. I thought he's on a holiday. That wasn't enough for him. Now he got that publicity. Now I thought he's on a honeymoon. The next day I'm running for the mayor. Who would vote for that clown? Is there a New Yorker listening to this show anymore? Does any of you? I'm on a 50,000 watt. I'm on a flamethrower in New York City. WOR. This thing is a Canada to Virginia. Okay. Love that station. Love the callers. Is anyone listening to this show in New York who tells me that that man has a chance? That loudmouth loser who insulted his own daughter, called her horrible names, a bully, a street thug? No, I don't really believe this. I can't believe what I'm looking at. I thought he's on a honeymoon. Where's he announcing now all of a sudden? In the middle of the honeymoon? Mr. Romeo? Oh, he didn't announce it. The other blowhard brother, Billy Baldwin, another great actor. Another great actor. Yeah, according to his little brother, Billy. Oh, interview with CNN's Piers Morgan. Another highly rated show. Who else would have him on but the slimy limey? Who else but the slimy limey would have a Baldwin brother on to announce that his brother might run for the mayorship? That guy is so slimy, that Piers Morgan. He gives me the creeps. Look, I have problems with the media. I understand that. But that one of all of them, phew, you need brown soap just to go in the same studio with him. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. What do you want to talk about? Have you awakened yet to what I'm talking about yet? Did I get you listening? Let's start in New York. All right, we'll start on WOR. Helen in New York on WOR. You're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, Helen?
It's Helen in New Jersey.
Okay, you're in Sopranoville. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Michael, you're the best. There's so many of us ladies out here that just tune in every night praying we can catch you and hear stories about you.
But here's the question. Let me ask you something straight up. Do you buy the products that they advertise on the station? Otherwise, I'm dead in the water.
Of course.
You got to go buy the Mercedes over there. You got to buy everything they advertise. So, Helen, am I the only one in New York on the airwaves who tells it like it is?
The only one that tells the truth, honestly. But I don't have a car anymore because I'm 82.
Oh, no, don't give away your age. You're 97, just the perfect demo for the show. I'm glad you divulged that. How come you're not living in a retirement home in Boca?
Listen, my parents would be thrilled to hear your voice. I'm number 7 of 10 kids. My parents never accepted a welfare, all this nonsense.
No, of course not. My parents told me that there was home relief in their age, but nobody they knew would accept it because it would have been a humiliation to take it.
My mom said, where are the
streets? And she told me something else. I found pictures of my tenement that I lived in, 829 Longfellow Avenue in the Bronx as a kid, right? To me, it was a paradise because there was a lot across the street. There were roses on the fence. I always found the beauty wherever I was. I found pictures recently of me as a kid in Dead Man's Pants. It was a litter-strewn, ugly neighborhood, disgusting. You would never believe how dirty it was. But here's the point. The apartments were clean. There was virtually no crime in those buildings. And after that wave moved out and the next wave moved in of welfare recipients, they were burning mattresses and throwing them off the balconies because the government didn't give them enough money.
Absolutely. I know. Yep. My parents, I said, just like Europe, when I hear stories about you with your mother, father, and the pants and the store, and we women.
Yeah, but a little, now that I tell you this, I have to level with you. You know, I thought about it. It bothers me in a certain way because it's very hard to tell the truth about anything in a short period of time. What is the truth? What is the actual truth about the relationship between myself and my parents? Is it how I portray it on the radio? Is it how I portray it in my forthcoming a book,
well, we
Train
feel-
Tracks? I mean, what is the truth of it? What is the actual truth? These are snapshots. You know, you don't know what the truth really is.
You talk, and we know what you're saying is the truth. That's why we tune you in every night. We wouldn't miss you for anything. These no good.
What is this, Helen? What's the ethnic group of your group that listens? What's your ethnicity?
Totally mixed. I'm Irish Scotch mixture. My next door is the intermarriage, black and white. Next over here across the street, I don't know what she is. Totally mixed up on this block.
Yeah, and what? Are you all going to vote for Romney or Obama or mixed?
Oh no, it's the ones I talk to here. We're all sick of Obama. No.
Okay, when you say you're sick of Obama, what sticks in your mind? What part of him bothers you the most?
Has nothing to do with his color. Nothing. It is his arrogance. He's such a fake, a liar.
Yeah, that's what's getting to me. Look, I know his policies are all communistic, as I point out. However, his attitude is so hostile. His imperiousness, his looking down on people, his insecurity as covered up with the superiority complex, his whole persona. In other words, I don't book his act.
That's true. But how many get through? But there's plenty of us out here that even...
Well, about Romney? Do you think Romney has a chance to win being such a milquetoast? You're an older woman. You probably want someone with a little horsepower, right?
Well, the thing is, we are frightened the way Obama is trying to change our country.
You should be. You should be. He hates everything that you have. He'd like to take it away from you and give it to those who never worked for it.
See,
it's as clear as day to me what he wants to do.
Sure. We're on our way out, us people, you know, our age. We have
I'm not on the way out. I just got started on it. Now I have to say goodbye. I'm not on the way out. Hey, let me give everyone a little hint on this show right now. I am not on the way out. I'm on the way in. I'm just beginning. Tomorrow is mine. You've seen nothing yet. You haven't even heard me yet. You have no idea what's coming tomorrow. I'm going to be bigger than I ever was in a few months. You're not going to believe how big I'm going to be. You have no idea what I'm working on. You haven't any idea. I've just begun. I've just begun to fight. And I'm telling you right now, you're not going to believe how big I'm going to get in this country. Because the more the others get meek and frightened and run away, that's the bigger I'm going to get, because there's not many people saying what needs to be said. And we all need to be saying it like a chorus. Or we're finished. We're done for. Venezuela. Take the model you want. Venezuela. Cuba. You name it. That's where we're going. And don't say it can't happen here, because it is happening here. And this is how it happens here. It happens by degree. It never happens in a cataclysm. Never. What'd you expect? A dictator to arrive and walk around and scream, I'm going to take over the country? That's not how it works. It's by degree. I've explained this to you for years on the show. It's by degree. Forget the boiling frogs analogy. It's Fabian socialism. It's a little more intellectual. But nevertheless, they do it by a slow. Oh, fired up all over again. Fired up again. I don't even know where it comes from. It's like a miracle. Miracle. I don't know. It's like a miraculous battery inside me. Oh, speaking of batteries, today I went to the bicycle store, and I heard about the hybrid electric bicycle where you pedal some and an ion battery can take you 20 miles an hour. What fun. I was zipping around the parking lot. It was like I felt like the flying nun on this thing. It was unbelievable. No, you turn the hand, the battery zooms in. It's an amazing machine. Now, naturally, it's not made here, nor did Obama fund this thing. If he had funded an electric bicycle program, I would say he did some. Nothing. Everything he funded was a fake from the beginning. A hall of mirrors. Everything Obama funded in the alternate energy world was like a hall of mirrors. There was nothing there but grifters stealing the money. This thing really worked, 20 miles an hour. It was interesting. You could pedal some. Does anyone own one of those hybrid bicycles? You could see it's like very Japanese science fiction movie bicycle. It's like millions of people zipping around, running away from Godzilla on them. No, that's what it's like designed for that. It's designed like to be on a flat street with Godzilla coming after you, and everyone's looking behind themselves, running away from Godzilla. So I said to the guy, does it go up hills? Oh, yeah, it goes up hills. I said, wait a minute, let's be clear. I said, let me tell you the road I take over the hill, Tiburon. So he comes back. He says, well, no, on that hill you have to pedal. I said, okay. But here's the problem. If I buy that, then what? I'll never bicycle again. Why would I ever want to pedal if I have an electric thing that I could plug in? Then I'll just become like a fat guy. So I'm just going to, if I'm going to get it and I'm not going to pedal, then what do I need it for? Then either you buy a motor scooter or a motorcycle or stay in your car. What is the point? I don't quite understand the combo. So I'm not going to buy it. They're $1,699, by the way. I wish there was a government subsidy. Maybe Obama could put out a government subsidy for a hybrid electric bicycle if you turn in your Mercedes. If you turn in your Mercedes and give it to a government bureaucrat, they give you a hybrid electric bicycle and a coupon to McDonald's.
Savage.
You know, there's a lot of people that that is considering right now.
You have a favorite.
I like to think that I have a few that I really like a lot.
And Governor?
What she said.
Is anyone listening to the show? I mean, the lines are jammed out. There's a lot of news out there. I mean, I don't know what to say the biggest piece of news really is. It really is a lot of this, that. I think the news, she's mentioning... Ann Romney's mentioning that he's considering a female candidate. So that's like running it up the flagpole. So now you have to consider who? What do you mean a female candidate? How many are there on the Republican side? Don't tell me it's mush-mush. Mush-mush, it's over. And if his advisors recommend mush-mush, that's the end of the election. You may as well just throw in the towel and say to Obama, we're saving $300 million and you're elected. Don't pick mush-mush, Mitt. Now, of course, that's a message to his handlers who will definitely pick Mush Mush to make sure he doesn't win. Who do you think he should pick is the question. Okay, Sacramento. Ron, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Doctor. Mush Mush, no to the Husky. Yes to Jan Brewer. She's got the cojones to fight Obama. She's already done it once. She's shown that she can do it. If Romney doesn't have the cojones, she can use his.
Yes, that's right. She is the Golda Meir of the Republican Party. No one's ever said that. Write it down. Someone will steal it by tomorrow. By tomorrow, you'll hear it on our Rush Limbaugh show.
Okay, Doctor. Thank you.
That's a great call. Jan Brewer is the Golda Meir of the Republican Party. She's exactly what they need. And therefore, Romney's people will never pick her. She's too tough. She's too strong. She's too conservative. She's everything America wants and needs. And she did stare down Obama on the tarmac. Remember that? That was an amazing. He didn't intimidate her. He's an intimidator guy. That guy is really into scaring people. So, yeah, no, Jan Brewer would be great. Imagine like Romney Brewer. And brew has something to do with tea, like you brew tea. So it's got psychological components, too. Romney Brewer, like what are you brewing? Well, we're brewing tea party. It's like a subtle message. That would work. I'm into the whole Mad Men thing. I could analyze things better than you can. So that would work. That's a winner. That's why Romney's team won't let her near him. They'll pick some unknown that you never heard of woman that has no capacity to bring in 12 votes. Texas, CJ, you're on the Savage Nation. Are you in favor of Romney picking Mush Mush?
I agree with the Brewer first, okay? But if Mush Mush was picked, Palin, I guarantee you she would stir it up, and that's why McCain got her in it, because she will bring them out, the women that hate her, to help.
Wait. Let me see what you just said. Didn't she run as the VP candidate for McCain?
Yes, she did.
Wait. Sorry, sir. And how did that work out? Yeah, he's in Siberia. He's in political Siberia, and she became a spokesman or whatever for Fox News Network. And basically, good luck to her. She's a media figure. She certainly doesn't have any appeal to women. I will tell you right now, Sarah Palin is not liked by most women. They don't trust her. They think she's a lightweight number one. I've talked. I know. They don't like the fact that she's a little light. I don't want to bash her. She's a fine woman for what she is. She's the worst mistake in the world if he picks Mush. Mush is mush. Mush, mush is mush. That's all. What do you want to talk about? I'm sick of this election already. I wish it was over a year ago. All the precious children of Hollywood. Katzenberg, and Spielberg. I had a call the other day from a guy who says, I know all those Bergs. He said, they hate your guts. I said, why would that be? Why would they not? Why would the Bergs not like me, the Bergs of Hollywood? Just because I say they create a sewer pipe to the world? What's wrong with that? They should be proud of the sewer pipe they created. Every day you can see the filth in their minds as projected in on the screens around the world. It's why the whole world's burning right now. The whole Muslim world is rising up because they don't want the sewer pipe in their houses. Am I the only one who says this? I got another email from a famous person I know in the media from England. He said, you are the only person that everyone I meet listens to on the internet in England. Would you believe this? I mean, I've been banned in England. I'm not allowed to go there. It's their loss, not mine. I do miss certain things about London. I don't know what, but I certain like nostalgic things. I miss the Kew Gardens of London because my collections are there, my botanical collections are there. I'm not allowed to visit them. Instead, they let in Muslim terrorists for fear that they'll offend them. It's a country upside down. It's upside down. It lost everything. They don't know who they are. They lost their own nation through political insanity. And the best is yet to come. Well, you see what's going to happen in France now with that psychotic who just took over. He wants to tax him at 75%. Anyone who makes more than €1 million a year, he wants to tax at 75%. That's like music to Obama's ears. So the French now are buying properties in Manhattan. You see that story? I don't know what good that's going to do them. What, they're going to come here or what? They're going to then become American citizens? I don't understand how that works. They're buying an apartment in Manhattan and... what, they're sheltering the money before the taxes? Because okay, that was it. So they're going to buy property in New York before the taxes hit, and then the New York property won't be taxed. All right, that makes sense. That's very good for New York real estate. Gee, I should have bought an 81 that had a chance up in Harlem. You should have seen them buildings. They were cleaned out. I could have bought six in a row. Oh, I should have bought an 83. 86 had a chance on 57th Street and 9th Avenue when they were knocking and renovating the West Side. I could have bought. You have no idea how rich I'd be. So why don't you buy now? Now it's much too late.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
I think you should nominate a woman. We've been looking at that, and I'd love that option as well. So, you know, there's a lot of people that Niv is considering right now.
Do you have a favorite?
I like to think that I have a few that I really like a lot.
And Governor?
What she said.
Yeah. All right. Round two of the Savage Nation. Many of you just joined the show now. We've been talking about this and that, but the big topic, I think, is that Ann Romney has hinted that they're looking at a woman for VP. They're running it up the flagpole. So what does it mean? Who are they going to pick? I say, I pray it's not Mush Mush. Mush Mush, it's over. Number of reasons. They tried her already with McCain. It didn't seem to do any good, did it? I mean, how'd that work out, the old joke? Forget about her. So I pray to God they're not thinking of Mush. That's the end of the story if they pick her. Whatever happened to Rubio? That was the magic bullet of about a month ago. Rubio. Oh, it's Romney Rubio. Rubio. Oh, Rubio, the magic bullet. Because he's Hispanic, that makes him a genius already. Rubio. Get the Hispanic vote. Rubio. Crazy, just insanity politics. I could never be in the business. It's hard enough being a commentator sitting from the outside throwing brickbats at everybody. Now try to actually run for office and not make a mistake. Probably the hardest job on the planet. Probably the worst job on the planet. So we can talk about that if you want. Let's go to the first caller now on the Savage Nation in Portland, Oregon. Tracy, welcome from Portland, Oregon. What's on your mind?
Condoleezza Rice, baby. She's got balls.
A lot of good she did for George Bush. When China was threatening us, she was an expert on Russia.
I know, but it would get rid of the race card.
When Iran was threatening us, she played the piano. When Pakistan was undermining us, she was going swimming. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Condoleezza Rice-Aroni, to be honest with you.
I don't know.
Mistake number two. Another one. Retread. Been used. Didn't work before. Don't use her. Nothing. No gravitas. Why would you pick her? We've had that, seen that, done that, been there, done that. Don't do her. Don't pick her. It's over. Pick her. It's done. Toast. You're toast. If you pick her, you're toast. She's toast. Republicans are toast. America's toast. Don't pick her. That's a new shtick I'm using now. It's like a new type of a delivery. Like repetitive in different ways on the same thing. New Mexico. Joe, you're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, my governor, Susana Martinez, would be a perfect person for Romney.
Now tell me who she is, why anyone would vote for her.
Susana Martinez has spent the last 2 years cleaning up the mess after Bill Richardson, our former governor. And I believe that she would probably get a good majority of the Hispanic vote.
Okay, so let's start with that. She has no name recognition outside of your state, so that's an uphill battle. Don't you think he needs someone with some name recognition?
Yeah, but there's really nobody. I mean, who is there? There's nobody.
No, you know? I agree with you. Mush is the wrong pick. She has name recognition, but it's too negative at this point.
Yeah, definitely. There's really
right?
nobody.
The reason Mush has negative ratings is because Mush has overplayed her. Mush has been overplayed, number one. Mush has too much baggage that can be used to attack her and Romney, number two. And women don't really, they never took to Mush. They never took to Mush. I don't think the Mush Act 2 is going to work. Now, the individual you just mentioned, I don't know. I can't comment, but I think on the face of it, I would pick somebody with name recognition. So let's go back to the last call. What if it's a Romney-Rice ticket? I don't think that would work very well. It's too bland.
Nope, that wouldn't work either. I think that the Hispanic vote is going to be strong this next round, and that's what the people are going to be looking for. They're going to be looking for somebody that's Hispanic and not Mark Rubio. And,
yeah, what happened with Rubio? He was always a lightweight, but what happened with him? They were trying him for 2 months, and there was no traction with Rubio.
He disappeared after, you know, Obama, you know, went ahead and signed up for the amnesty for the illegals. So he disappeared.
Oh, because because that's what Rubio wanted, the very same thing.
He claimed it as his idea, and, you know, he was going to make a big push on it. But
I see. So Rubio was exposed for being Obama, in other words. On the immigration. Yep. Well, how is Martinez on the immigration issue in your state?
She's pretty strong. She pulled to stop giving license to illegals, but of course the liberals fought it all the way. This is one of the few states that give licenses to illegal immigrants, and it has been a huge problem. The police have busted many organizations that are giving out illegal aliens licenses. And she's put a good push on that, and she's really helped the educational system. Quite a mess after Bill Richardson. He just really...
He was as corrupt and as incompetent as they come. Going all the way back to the fires at Los Alamos. Do you remember the suspicious fires at Los Alamos?
Absolutely, I do. And, when Bill Richardson left the office, he locked his records down so that nobody could touch him for 8 years, I believe. You know that the evidence is in there. It's just ridiculous what goes on in New Mexico.
Oh, the Democrat Party is basically all gangsters. 98% of them look like they're hiding fraud everywhere you turn. People don't want to hear it, but it frightens me, the level of gangsterism in the Democrat Party. It really does. So let's hold ourselves open to the possibility that might be this lady Martinez. I'm certainly open to it. She sounds like she knows what she's doing. We're only talking about the women, and let's know more about this already. It's too much. It's too much. I'd rather shift gears to something else. We could talk about pork chop with vinegar pepper recipes for all I care. It'd be more interesting to me than who he's going to pick as a VP candidate. You know how far ahead this is. You're talking the average American today with iPhones. It used to be said that they don't pay attention till after Labor Day. I would guess that this election, it will be closer to the election that people actually start paying attention to it than ever in history because of the number of electronic devices that people carry around. And I believe that you're talking about October is when they're going to start to focus on who's even running. They don't even know who Romney is, most of them, which in a way is why Romney's handlers are saying, hold your fire, you know, running the jet skis. I think it's a wrong campaign because Obama's certainly not holding back any fire. He's out there attacking every day. He's got plenty of energy. So I'm not so sure that's the right strategy, but who am I to say after all? I only have a very famous radio show. He should listen to the professionals who advise him, the ones who ran McCain off the rails. That's who Romney ought to listen to. That's the right person. What else do you want to talk about? There's so many stories out there. You don't know where to start. That's a tragedy in New York, the yacht story. The three kids who died. What an idiot. Who puts 30 people on a 30-foot boat? What a moron. Who was this guy? The kids are dead. You heard about that story? I was shocked. A yacht, a 34-foot yacht. There's no such thing as a... What's a boat? What's a yacht? A yacht. I have a yacht. There's a 34-foot, you know, tub. Goes out on Oyster Bay with 27 people on it. To me, this is homicide. This is like vehicular homicide. Whoever that captain is, the guy who took them out, has to be arrested. I'm sorry. You don't want to hear it. A yacht that capsized with 26 friends and family on an outing to watch one of them was severely overcrowded and doomed to tip over safety. No kidding. The skipper. I love the word skipper. Skipper. The children died after becoming trapped Wednesday night in the cabin. You know what kind of death that is? I guess this. I'm sorry. I had this discussion this morning. I knew it was a Jersey Shore job. I knew it. Sal Aureliano was at the helm of the boat. It turned the boat around, he said. He got hit by a wave. It just turned the boat. I didn't see it. It was dark. I didn't see it, said Sal Aureliano. It's a Jersey Shore job. He should be arrested, in my opinion, for what he did. This is what you call stupidity of the highest order. First of all, the boat is overcrowded. That's number one. Secondly, if he didn't have enough life-saving equipment on the boat, that's a fabulous violation. I'm a boater. You don't do that to people. 27 passengers on this boat, 34 feet. He was just showing off. He's trying to show what a big gee he was. You know, I'm out of my yacht. I'll watch the fireworks. Sal, hey, Sal, don't you think it's too many? Nah, don't worry about it. I can handle it. Come on out. Yeah, bring the kids out, too. Boat 60 feet underwater. Silverton yacht built in 1984. It's like a scow. Unbelievable to me. It's a horrible story. But to me, no question the boat was overloaded. If I had a 34-foot boat, six people is the most I'd ever take. I never take more than six people on a 59-foot boat I own because I don't want the responsibility of so many people running around. You have any idea what responsibility is? If I drive a 40-ton boat, which I drive, 40 tons dry, now you add fuel, 1,400 gallons of fuel when it's full, then you add water. Now you put six, eight people on a boat that size. You got to keep your eye on them if you're the captain. You don't drink, number one. Absolutely, you don't take a beer. That's number one. Who knows what's going on? Who puts 34 people on a boat? 34 people? I can't believe my eyes. I guessed it this morning. We're talking about this terrible story. 34-foot boat, 27 people on a boat like this, and now they name him. I guess it was Jersey Shore, a guy showing off. That's my estimation. Terrible story. Yes, you say it won't bring the children back, but it might stop the next Sal from showing off.
We better put that aside for a minute. I'm sick of this. Let me go to break before I say something I really mean.
Savage.
Time is it already? Now you say, what's going on? Well, I'll give you an example of what's going on. We have two open Muslim congressmen in the United States of America. One of them is someone I never heard of named Andre Carson, Democrat Indiana, who is recommending that we should use the equivalent of the madrasas and the Quran in our schools. I'm not making this up. This is someone who's sworn to uphold the U.S. Constitution.
Listen to what he says in 16.
America will never tap into educational innovation and ingenuity without looking at the model that we have in our madrasas, in our schools, where innovation is encouraged, where the foundation is the Quran. And that model that we are pushing in some of our schools meets the multiple needs of students.
It does. So in other words, the Quran should be the multiple choice question and the answer is the Quran? Well, this is an example of what we're talking about. These are people sworn to uphold the U.S. Constitution, pushing the Muslim idea of a Muslim school and the Quran as the foundation for the future of the schools of America. To me, the man should be impeached for even suggesting it, because what he's doing is he's violating his oath of office. But when does the oath of office have ever stood in the way of anybody? Earlier in the show, we played Big Sis swearing in new citizens at the White House. All right, you swear. Listen to clip five.
I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Wait a minute. You do? She will support the Constitution of the United States? How could she do that if she's fighting the Constitution of the United States? This is the funny part. If you actually listen to her swearing in the new citizens at the White House, Napolitano, everything she tells them to repeat after her, she's not doing. Listen, tell me if I'm making it up. Listen.
I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Yeah.
And the laws of the United States of America.
Yeah, right.
Against all enemies.
Enemies.
Foreign and domestic. That I will bear true faith.
True faith.
And allegiance to the same.
Yeah, right. It's heartbreaking to think what's happened. I'm living in Animal Farm, I'm living in Braving the World, I'm living in a nightmare where everything is upside down. Here is a woman who should have been thrown out of office 2 years ago. Here is a woman who, when she was governor, was violating the U.S. Constitution, who was catering to the government of Mexico. Now she's taken it to the nth degree as Department of Homeland Security, where she not only is not protecting and defending the U.S. Constitution, in my estimation, but she's actually stripping us of our constitutional rights. They put out something that we got from PJ Media that you're not going to believe. You're all militia extremists now. Do you love the Constitution? Do you hate government regulations? A new DHS lexicon brands you a militia extremist if you love the Constitution and if you hate government regulations. It was written by some genius inside DHS called LaJuan Washington. LaJuan E. Washington of the DHS Office of Intelligence and Analysis. I wonder what LaJuan Washington's IQ is. She defined militia extremists as anyone who believes the government is stripping Americans of their freedoms and is attempting to establish a totalitarian regime. LaJuan says you're an extremist. These individuals consequently oppose many federal and state authorities, laws, and regulations, particularly those related to firearms ownership, says LaJuan E. Washington of DHS. So if you believe in the Second Amendment, according to the IQ genius LaJuan E. Washington of the DHS Office of Intelligence and Analysis, you are now a militia extremist. So in other words, if you believe in the Constitution, you're a militia extremist. If you oppose federal regulations of any kind, if you support the Second Amendment to the Constitution, and though you don't actually belong to a militia, according to DHS, you are branded a militia extremist by your own government, and you will be targeted by law enforcement agencies who they're cooperating with. There's much more to this than meets the eye. Where are the Republicans on this? Why have they not fired LaJuan E. Washington? Why has Congress not held a hearing holding Secretary Napolitano accountable and having her fired? Let her explain what she means by this. What's the point? I'm animated by this because you don't understand what they're doing. They're laying the groundwork to arrest anybody who opposes Obama in his second term on any grounds. They are laying the groundwork to arrest anybody who opposes anything Obama does in his second term. That's what DHS was set up for. It is fundamentally, well, let me let it go.
Savage.
You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
I don't know who works anymore. I have no idea who's paying taxes. The roads are empty. Where is everybody? So the big topic is Ann Romney said that they're considering a woman as VP. So we're running through the names. And I've given them affectionate single name Runyon-esque designations, like Palin is Mush for obvious reasons. Jan Brewer is Hush because she hushed up Obama on the tarmac. We'll call her Hush. Rice, I'm naming Brush because she brushed off the suggestion that she would run for the VP slot. So we got Mush, Hush, and Brush. Mush, Hush, and Brush. I don't have a name yet for Martinez from New Mexico because I don't know her. I can't give her a single name that matches Mush, Hush, Brush. So if anyone's got a name for Martinez that would fit that isn't, you know, like embarrassingly, you know, off color or whatever. We got Mush Palin. We got Hush Brewer. We got Brush Rice. We got to give Martinez a name if she's picked, because I'm only going to refer to them by a single name. It's easier. I'm tired of trying to remember names. Palin I remember as Mush. That's the Eskimo dogs, you know, the Aleuts. Brewer is good as Hush. Rice is good as Brush. She also is like very nicely groomed. That works. She was very nicely groomed. She really was. Bored me to death. Expert, they told me she's an expert on the Bush on Russia while China was eating our breakfast. She was an expert on Russia. Just the perfect Secretary of State that we needed at that time was not her. So, and what a choice. Who was he going to pick? Who was he going to? I have no idea who Romney could pick. Could he pick a war hero of some kind? Would that work? Is there like a woman war hero, the equivalent of Alan West, like a female Alan West? I saw Alan West on TV. I was stirred. Let's play clip one. Alan West on Fox News. This was great. Finally, they had a patriot on. Listen.
Think about the American dream. I just had the opportunity to go back to my home neighborhood in Atlanta, Georgia. And I was born in the inner city. And actually, just right down the street from where Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was born and raised. And for me, the American dream means that no matter where you come from or no matter where you are born, there is a quality of opportunity here in this country based upon your own drive and determination, your own individual industrialism, that you can achieve whatever heights that you want in this great nation. You know, my father was born in 1920 down in South Alabama, my mother in 1931 down in South Georgia. And who would have ever thought when I was born in 1961 that they would have a son that would be a retired lieutenant colonel from the United States Army that commanded a battalion in combat and is now the first black Republican member from the state of Florida since Reconstruction. And that's the American dream, and that's what we fight for.
See, now there is a man who should be the president of the United States. He can't be right now. But there's the kind of man we need to oppose Obama. Instead, the Republican establishment shuns West, and they've tried to gerrymander him out of his own district in South Florida. It's a shocker. The man stands for everything that is good and great and noble about America. Everything, which is why the Republicans detest and fear him. Now listen to clip two. It gets even better.
You know, I grew up in the inner city. It would have been nice if I was 6'2", 6'3", and I could go and shoot three-pointers and dunk. But no, I didn't. So I had a different path. You know, my father served in World War II. My older brother served in Vietnam. So the path for me was to go into the military. And they convinced me as a young man in the 10th grade to join high school ROTC. So that's what I'm saying. You know, will everyone be a millionaire? No, maybe not. But there's a richness that you can have in your life. Because as I see where I have come from, where I am today, it's not about material wealth. It's about something that is totally different. It's about an intrinsic wealth that I live in the greatest nation that the world has ever known. Because my story and the story of many of you out there could not happen anywhere else but right here in the United States of America. And that's what people have always wanted to come here to be a part of. A part of saying, you know, when I put my feet on these shores, no one is going to hold me back from what I want to achieve.
Now, that's a leader. That's why he was successful in the military. He comes from phenomenal DNA, patriotic, loyal Americans. Need I mention that he's an African-American? And yet he is shunned by the Republican establishment, which unto itself is shocking, and hated by the liberal media because he doesn't qualify for their communist agenda. He's the epitome of the opposite of what they stand for. This is a beautiful man, great man. I wish to God he could be picked for the VP. Clip three now. Listen to this one. It gets even better yet.
I have a bachelor's degree and two master's degrees in political science, political theory, political ideology. And the thing is, you have to be able to understand the two competing principles or philosophies of governance in this country. You know, when I go out and talk to people, what is America? And when people respond, America is a democracy, that lets me know they don't understand what America is. America is a constitutional republic. And when you go back and you read the documents of the Declaration of Independence, the full declaration, the full constitution, you understand limited government. You understand fiscal responsibility. You understand individual sovereignty, free market, traditional cultural values, strong national defense. But there are people on the other side, and you can call it whatever you wish. You can call it communism, progressivism, socialism, Marxism, or statism. They more so believe in a government control. They more so believe in nationalizing of production. They believe in creating and expanding an entitlement or a welfare state. And you can't tell me that you aren't seeing that in the United States of America right now.
I'm flabbergasted. I'm in the talk business. I write books about these things. He is the most phenomenally articulate member of Congress. And boy, should Romney pick him. Forget about pandering to a specific ethnic group, Romney. Just don't listen to your advisors. Why don't you just pick a patriotic American? Why don't you stop listening to those lunatics who are running you off the rails, Mitt, and pick Alan West? You will win. Pick Alan West and unleash him. Let him go out there on the road and attack Obama head to head. You will win. See, he's got the guts. He's got the power. He's got the brains. He's got the education. He can move audiences, and it doesn't matter what anyone's race is. See, West will move audiences because his story is so American, and he's such a dedicated man. I mean, I would follow this guy, and I at this point in my life, don't say that about many people. I look up to Alan West, and I'm proud to say that I had him in my home in Florida with his lovely wife, with his daughters. They swam in my pool. It was beautiful. I haven't seen him since. I wish we did. I don't go down there much anymore. I can't take the bugs and the heat, but, I mean, the guy is great, really great. It's a shame the house sits there. It's a separate story. Don't get me started. I slip. Now I'll start talking about Florida now. You could die from the heat. It's like, whew, what flagless started. 1-800-44-1-800. So who should be the pick? If it's a woman, it can't be Mush, should be Hush, shouldn't be Brush. If it's a man VP, it should be Alan West. I mean, first of all, the guy was lieutenant commander in the military. That, to me, is enough. Right away, I admire him. That's A1. And he actually knows what the Constitution is, as opposed to Janet Napolitano, who literally didn't even know what she was talking about. I actually heard Janet Napolitano was swearing those people in, catching herself in embarrassment, realizing what she was saying she was violating. I actually heard it. New York, WOR. Kathy, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. I want to just agree with you. I was listening to that interview as well on Fox, and I felt such pride, and I felt such a connection to our country once again listening to...
Absolutely. He reminded me what the battle is all about. Romney hasn't articulated these points.
I wish, and I think we will never see Obama as... ever as articulate as this man is, and I'm in total agreement with you.
He did this without a teleprompter. He did it before an audience in Florida, no less, and it was astounding to watch him because he is so schooled in the realities of America, the threats we're facing. He's a true patriot. We know where he was born. We know where his loyalties lie. We know his father fought for America. His uncle fought for America. They didn't go to a madrasas in Kenya or in Indonesia. We know all of these things.
A true American. Thank you, Michael.
I would sleep better if he was vice presidential candidate. Or frankly, could you imagine if Romney ever made him head of DHS? I'd sleep better at night, knowing he's not trying to arrest people who believe in America, as opposed to people who want to destroy America. Right now, we have a world upside down, a topsy-turvy world, which is exactly what happens after a revolution. But okay, too much information. Too much information for the average person, but that was a... I got to tell, I was shocked that Fox let him on. I thought they put him in Siberia as well. I thought anyone who's too patriotic, you know, the shillelagh thrower throws him off. Anyone who's too patriotic, the shillelagh gets rid of him. He's got to make believe he's middle of the road. He had a seal on the other night. Since I started criticizing him openly, I decided to go on the attack against him because he's such a fraud, O'Reilly. I was shocked. On July 4th, they played an interview he did with a guy who did a book about snipers. He tried to turn him into a murderer. I couldn't believe what I was watching.
How does anyone not see what O'Reilly is? It's shocking to think he gets away with this. But the network itself, I mean, they let a guy like Weston, God bless him. I'd vote for them in a minute. But I'm let's be clear. Anybody but Obama. That's the motto. Anyone but Obama. The problem is he's not going to bring the base out. If he keeps up Mr. Bland, and if he keeps up Middle of the Road, if he keeps up Rockefeller 2, if he keeps up the Check Pants Republican line, he's not going to win because he's got to fire up the conservative libertarian base. He's not doing it. He's sure he's got the Republican vote. So that's not so hard to do. The party always, the country always goes, the Democrats and the Republicans. How about the big middle? He's not moving the middle. The needle hasn't moved on the middle with Romney. He's put them asleep. The little man is asleep in the chair. The little man has fallen asleep in the movie chair with Romney in the middle. Now you say, oh, he's waiting. All right, well, when is he going to start? He's already in round five of a 15-round fight, and he's still, what, dancing around the edges of the ring? He's got to stop it. He's got to get out there and start jabbing Obama. He can't sit there and dance around in a water ski anymore.
Savage.
Looking at real estate to get out of California because it's become a nightmare. Entire Tuscan village for sale on eBay for $3.1 million. The 800-year-old village of Pratericcia, being offered on eBay. An entire village, a Tuscan village. Imagine being a little duke running around there. You get 800-year-old medieval village overlooking Tuscany's Casentino Valley, being auctioned off on eBay by a religious order for a mere $3.1 million. 20-acre land, 25 cottages. Abandoned 50 years ago when Italy experienced an economic boom, driving its farmers and shepherds away to work in factories. The monastic order that owns the land reportedly turned to the internet after it tried unsuccessfully to sell the property to Italian real estate agencies. The deserted village about 25 miles east of Florence is perched on a scenic plateau and situated near historic abbeys. Why don't we start like a savage land up there? Buying it. Mike, I'll give you my life savings. That'd be amazing. 800-year-old village, 20 acres. It would never work, but it's like fantasy land. And that's beautiful stone buildings. Get a chef from Mulberry Street to move in with you. You need a chef, like a communal chef. You know, seriously, who could live in a place like that? Borgo Mediviale Disabitato. I love it. I would love it. I would love it. I mean, say fantasy. Who could live like this? Like abandoned villages. It's like the Oliver Goldsmith story, The Abandoned Village. You know what I'm saying? You think it's great till you get there. And the spiders, the snakes, the banditos, you wouldn't like it at the end of the day. It's like Marin County with an old building. That's what it comes down to. You know, it's the beauty of Italy, is in northern Italy. It looks just like Marin County in California. The same exact look. It's amazing. We don't have the snow-capped, you know, higher up. We don't have Monte Cassino. We have Monte Rio, but we don't Monte Cassino. It's very beautiful, but you know, it's nostalgia. You can't live in those places. I remember when I went to Spain when I was a youngster and went into these old villages. Yeah, you know, looks good on paper, but there's no toilets. There's no running water. You know, they're musty. It's just like a bad Fellini, like a post-World War II Fellini movie. You know, it's like Vittorio De Sica. You talk about an electric motorbike. I mean, you need more than that. How do you get in there? There's no roads, nothing. You got a donkey and a shotgun. The fantasies man has. Someone's going to buy that village. Some internet boondoggler will buy it. Then they'll spend like 5 years and $15 to $25 million, you know, fixing up the house. And then they'll flip it, flip this medieval castle. How to flip this medieval castle. It's a fantasy. Man needs dreams, fantasy. Me, I'll stay in the suburbs. That's what it comes down to. Air conditioning, heating, nearby bad Italian restaurants, bad Chinese restaurants. What could be better? Like right now, my lips are sticking together from the Chinese meal. That's the thing. I've never seen such bad food in my life, the San Francisco area. I've never seen it. I mean, out in Marin County, it's well known to have the worst food in the entire United States for a county that prides itself on intelligent people. Nobody can understand why the restaurants are so bad in this area north of the Golden Gate Bridge. You got the most beautiful landscapes, you know, if you like that look, that Tuscan look. But the restaurants just leave you limp. They're like the Bob Dole of Italian restaurants. Oh, goodness. Here we are. Alan West, government militia, Savage being too hard on Romney, hybrid bikes are nice, Palin good. So who would you vote for if he picked a woman, Mush, Hush, or Brush? I told you Mush is out, Hush is good, Brush is bad. And we haven't yet given a one-word name for Martinez. If we can come up with it, she might be the pick. But he'll start. He's got to get away from the edge of the ring. This is a 15-round boxing match he's in. It's round five now of the boxing match. And Romney's circling the ring. And Obama's going after him from the center of the ring, jabbing him, hitting him, jabbing him, hitting him. And Romney's dancing around the edges. He hasn't touched his gloves. This is what's wrong with the fight. And people are starting to boo at Romney. Boo, boo. It's like a boxing match. They're saying, boo, get in the ring, fight, throw a punch. Call him a communist, call him a Marxist, call him a this, call him a that. Start attacking him. He's ripping you to shreds with the Bain Capital. Stop it already. Stop dancing on the edges. Fight back. Stop with the water skis. Stop using your wife. Get in there and no, nothing. His advisors are killing him. His corner men, in other words, are killing him. Jake LaMotta, he's not. Not the Raging Bull. Let's put it to you that way. Everybody wants the Raging Bull to come out of the corner, the edge of the perimeter of the ring and start fighting with Obama. You know, let's get it on already. Round five. Get out there. Attack him. He's vulnerable. Rip him. Attack him. 10 different points, Mitt. Re-trickle down tyranny. There's your roadmap. Stop reading the Rockefeller playbook. Stop reading the Rockefeller playbook. We don't need it. It's not 1956. Suddenly it's 1959. You know, move up to the 60s, Mitt. Do something. We don't know what to talk about. We don't know what to get him to say here. No one knows how to get him off the dime. Nobody. Sacramento, Paul, fire away. You're on the Savage Nation. Tell us what you think.
Hey, Michael. My comment is real simple. Since 1976, and I paid attention to, when you run a moderate against a liberal, the liberal wins.
That's right.
Gerald Ford.
Thank you. As John McCain, we just saw it again. We had John McCain running against the radical. Who won? The radical. Now we have McCain running the John McCain. Now we have Romney running exactly like McCain. He's even actually more bland than McCain. It's terrible. That's why people are starting to freak out. They're starting to freak out. And I'll remind you something else. My hero, the great Arizona governor, when he ran, he said extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. Remember that? He would stand up to Janet Napolitano. He'd put her in jail for what she's doing to the people of this country and catering to Mexico and leaving the borders open. Extremism and the defense of liberty is no vice. And I want to tell you something else. Play it for them. Let them hear it. Barry Goldwater. I gave you a lead and you could have gotten it by now. You don't have it? I know it by heart. Extremism and the defense of liberty is no vice.
That extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice.
Amen.
And let me remind you also that moderation in the pursuit of justice is no virtue.
There's your man. I am a Goldwater type of guy. There's the kind of man we need right now to run for office. The problem was he was destroyed by a liberal lawyer in Washington who I met years later, who painted the picture of the atomic bomb and children with the daisies. Remember that? I met the lawyer who did it. A left-wing lawyer, a brilliant man, brilliant strategist. He's the one who painted the picture of the daisies and the dying children and destroyed him because he was too patriotic. And look what we got. We got the adulterer in the White House. And the Rat Pack took over the country. But, okay, that's history. But this guy was straight-up great guy. And by the way, he was a liberal Republican. If you look at Goldwater, he was a liberal Republican in every way, but a really good one and a strong one.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now,
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage. You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
Savage Nation, we know that the storms have done more to shrink the federal workforce than the Tea Party ever dreamed of, symbol shot. I mean, when you think about it, everything that the Tea Party had dreamed of doing with regard to shrinking the federal government, but they didn't achieve in doing, the storms have done. And apparently there's a tremendous lack of federal workers right now. They've all been given time off for the storms, and as you notice, life goes on without them. So we don't know what they actually do, but we know that they earn much more than the private sector, that's for sure. You see the headline, record numbers of Americans on disability, more than the entire population of New York City. Over 8 million workers on federal disability. 8.7 million people took federal disability insurance payments in June of 2012. Now you say, well, that's because there's unemployment, but disability is not supposed to be an unemployment check. In fact, under Barack Obama, when he was inaugurated, there was one person per 19 workers taking disability payments. One per 19. And now, apparently, it's still pretty high. Back in 1992, in the dark ages, there was one person taking disability payments for each 35.5 people working. So what does that mean? It means there are a lot of shyster doctors out there willing to write a disability form saying that you can't work. That's all it means. And if you're 18 to 24 and you want to qualify for disability payments, all you need to have earned was $6,780 over the 3 years before you became so-called disabled. Crazy. Everyone's got a scam. Speaking of scams, we've got to turn to Justice Roberts, who's the greatest scam artist in American history. I'm the only one in the media to have told you that the reason he turned coat like this was probably for two reasons only. One of two reasons only. One, he was blackmailed by someone. Or two, he was responding to the medication he was on, which affected his judgment or his comprehension of things. The more I think about it, the more I realize that the Roberts precedent, so-called, is total baloney. In fact, what shocks me the most is that everyone's quoting the Roberts precedent as something important. And no one seems to mention the Schechter Brothers case from 1939, which I talked about on the show for 2 years now from my book, Trickle Up Poverty. I have to ask you, why do you think that the Supreme Court case, the Schechter Brothers case from 1939, where a small, lowly butcher stood up to Roosevelt, the central government guy, and they won, and Justice Brandeis, one of the greatest legal minds of all modern times, let's say, said to Roosevelt's aide, let this be the end of centralization of everything. Why do you suppose neither Limbaugh nor any of the other lights of the conservative side have ever mentioned the Schechter Brothers case? There's only one reason. It's because their hatred and fear of Michael Savage is so great that they couldn't even mention a case that would have done the conservative movement good, which shows you that at the end of the day, it's all self-interest. It shows you that the conservative facade of Limbaugh et al., the conservative facade of those who pose as conservatives, is simply a business decision. Because if they really wanted their conservative ideals to be promulgated, they wouldn't care if it was Savage who rediscovered the Schechter case. They would have said more power to him. But we have to quote it to stop this Obamacare from passing. You understand nothing. No one's out there. All right, what can you do? So, therefore, I figured everyone's on vacation. Federal workers are hiding, cutting logs out of the fallen trees. And the where is everybody? The roads are empty in California. There's nobody here. Where did everyone go? Best weather of my life. You're sweltering on the East Coast, Midwest. And I have to tell you, I feel superior. I feel the same way New Yorkers used to feel about the world. See, when I was a little kid, New Yorkers had this arrogance that they were the center of the universe and that everyone else was a rube. But as I've gotten older, I've come to understand that there are other places on Earth that have certain things that are going for them, so to speak. And here in the San Francisco area, we have the greatest weather on the planet, which is the only reason I put up with the psychosis of the Bay Area. And speaking of the psychosis of the Bay Area, there's a shocking case out here that's being brushed up, covered up, put aside, and that is this. The San Francisco DA, perhaps the worst district attorney in the history of the American world, has yet to file charges against 66-year-old Larry Brinken, who was arrested last week on suspicion of possessing child pornography. They will not file charges. Now, this guy, Larry Brinken, was a big shot in the Human Rights Commission. He was a big shot in the gay community. He was a well-respected member of the gay and immigrant communities. He spoke their language. In fact, the Board of Supervisors even declared the first week of February as their Larry Brinken Week. And so his arrest shocked the San Francisco community, as if there's such a thing called a community. There's several hundred radical psychotic agitators that they call a community. But my community doesn't exist. My community of working family people doesn't exist, but their community was shocked. But the question is, why is Larry Brinken, why is he still walking the streets? Can I ask you something? If a conservative was found with child pornography on their computer, do you think that they would still be walking the streets? My producer called the DA's office, and again we heard the party line from the communist central office, which is that they're still examining the computers, there's no timeline for indictment, and they've been stalling for 10 straight days. The FBI is non-existent on this case. 1-800-449-8255. Don't call the phone number about that. Instead, what I want to do is talk about spanking. Because I believe that children certainly are being raised too soft. I myself was not spanked. My father never, ever hit me in his entire life. So far as I... never. I was raised in a rough way, but it was verbal, mental. He kept me in line verbally and mentally, but he never spanked me. But there's an article out from a child psychiatrist which says spanking ups risk of mental disorders, which I don't agree with, incidentally. And they asked the question, which was just published, which is, as a child, how often were you ever pushed, grabbed, shoved, slapped, or hit by your parents or any adult living in your house? Spanking or physical punishment for disciplinary purposes is often described as controversial. Yet some ethnic groups and some people from the old school believe sparing the rod could lead to spoiling the child. Do you know that some ethnic groups actually pride themselves on spanking and hitting their child? Did you know that physical punishment, now this is according to this article, don't blame me, physical punishment is more culturally acceptable in some African, Middle Eastern, and Asian households? And in some Asian schools in particular, corporal punishment has been described to be deeply ingrained in Confucian culture. Compared with being white, black individuals had increased odds of harsh physical punishment, whereas Asian, Native Hawaiian, and other Pacific Islander respondents had decreased odds of experiencing harsh physical punishment. So they say that there's a greater risk of developing mental health problems in the absence of child maltreatment. But if you got spanked, you're liable to be physically hurt by it. I certainly take my hat off to those who discipline their children without hitting them. I'm not so sure that anger is the answer, though. I don't see how you can be a parent without getting angry at some point. Well, there's no question that children today are soft and coddled and could certainly benefit from tougher parenting. But getting tougher or disciplined doesn't need to include getting spanked or paddled, in my opinion. I didn't get hit by my father, even though he was from the old world. I got verbally tongue-lashed constantly, and I can't say that I enjoyed it. In fact, I hated it. In fact, I still have scars from it to this day, but so what? So what? Look at African cultures in Africa. Look at the boys who have physical scars in their bodies from various rituals they had to go through in order to prove they were a man. So in my case, my father gave me mental scars for me to become a tough man. People would say he was overly harsh. It's hard to say. I didn't raise my children that way, although I'm sure I missed the mark from their point of view. So I'm going to ask you a question, since you don't want to talk about Roberts the lunatic turncoat. Roberts is the equivalent of someone fighting with the Americans against the British, who at the very last minute threw off the American coat and put on a British red coat and ran over to the other side. Plain and simple, Justice Roberts is a sellout, period. Now, for guys like George Will, who holds himself up to be some intellectual, or Krauthammer, another fraud, another lifetime Democrat. Krauthammer is a lifetime Democrat who poses as a conservative and postures on Fox News. Another one who got it all wrong, saying that Roberts is a genius. They're both schmendricks, both wrong, both weak-willed, and don't understand what actually just happened to them. But I'd rather talk about spanking. Because, frankly, I'm going to ask you, were you spanked or disciplined harshly as a child? I did this type of show once before in my history, 18 years in radio. About 3-4 years ago, I did it. I could not believe the calls I got. I'm going to take your calls on the topics I've raised. There's about 3 or 4 of them. Roberts being a turncoat. Why has Larry Brinker not been indicted, even though he was found with child porn, according to the LAPD and SFPD? Who is protecting him and why? The spanking story. And then I will read for to you an anonymous email I got from a brilliant First Amendment attorney who will not be mentioned, who compares me to the greatest minds in the history of comedy, who says that I am the equivalent today of Lenny Bruce in my own way. People don't understand me. I'm a misunderstood genius. And he's someone who's been around a long time and who will remain anonymous.
Savage.
Like a long, long maudlin weekend, basically by myself. I don't know what's, but anyway, I'll go back to the show in a minute. I know that you like to hear the inner workings of the brilliant mind that you listen to. I spent a lot of time alone, totally in isolation. Me, the dog, and the bay, and the boat. Well, sometimes just me, the dog, and the seagulls in the bay. And I happened upon, I don't know, just schmaltzy stuff over the weekend. I think it was selling like an Elvis Presley tape or something. But there he was in one of his last performances singing My Way, and it really touched me. I don't know why, it just touched me, because I was never a big Elvis fan, but there he was, puffy, you know, from the abuse and the drugs, and it was sad to watch this guy. But when he sang My Way, there was something, he struck a chord with me, that's all. And I envisioned with my upcoming live performance, I know it's crazy, like what am I going to do? I'm thinking about it a lot now. What I'm thinking of singing My Way on a karaoke at the end of the show to bring the audience. I'm not going to do it. You know, like, so you have to think things through, live with them for a while, and reject them. I don't have an Elvis costume, number one. It's too expensive to make. It wouldn't fit me. But I'll tell you, I was reading some of the stories. I edited, finally, thank God, it went off today, back to the publisher. 200 comments in my Train Tracks book of corrections, and it went back. My childhood stories and this and that. And I realized that just me going on that stage and doing a little live and then reading from that book some of my childhood stories, telling him, would be enough of a show. I would go to it. So we'll go back now to the childhood of you. Discipline. The argument is that push, grab, shove, slapped, or hit by your parents will often screw up a child. And I agree. I think it's horrible. I don't like seeing a kid hit. On the other hand, there are people who believe in corporal punishment, particularly from Asian, Middle Eastern households, African, some Asian schools, in fact, they use corporal punishment. Caning is an official form of school discipline in Singapore. And, we don't understand that children cannot be let to do everything they want to do. Doesn't mean you hit them, but you have to control them. Children are fundamentally like wild animals. And they need, don't you? You don't know that? I mean, that's the first thing you do is teach a child, not to mess the floor. Go to the potty. It's called potty training. Liberals, you'd have trouble with potty training. They think that they're damaging the child by telling him not to do it in the road. And now look around the society. These are undisciplined, millions of undisciplined children running around with iPhones. All they want to do is have sex, drugs, and rock and roll day and night. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. They think that explains the reason for human evolution. So what I'm saying is, where is the discipline? How are you disciplined? And it's a great topic. And we're talking about the undisciplined opinion of Justice Roberts, how like a spoiled, traitorous child, he turned on the conservative people of the United States of America who counted on him to stop the socialized medicine juggernaut. Unfortunately, he turned code on us and stabbed us all in the back, and now he is loved, revered, lionized, and otherwise held up as a role model for every other conservative who has finally seen the light, which is to go communist. I mean, we're mixing in the conversation about discipline, Roberts being a turncoat, and I bring up the discipline thing. And then I think about this medium I'm in. It's an amazing medium, talk radio, where I'm not living on a script, right? It's live performance. I'm sharp and I'm edgy. Every single moment of every show has to keep you listening, right? And so a great First Amendment attorney sent me a note saying, Savage, even though I'm a liberal, I compare you to Lenny Bruce in terms of combining social issues and performance. And he said, Michael, remember during Lenny Bruce's lifetime, he was under attack for his views and his manner of expressing his views. And most of the attacks against Lenny Bruce came from the political right. While you're often attacked for your views and for your manner of expressing your views from a different side of the political spectrum. And he says, as a First Amendment attorney, I have to tell you that your speech and performance is protected whether or not I agree with you. In fact, I disagree with most of what you say, but it's irrelevant to my belief that you have a First Amendment right to hold and express your views. So that's from one of the top First Amendment attorneys who's a diehard red diaper dopamine liberal, by the way. You see what I'm saying? So it's a very interesting thing to be a shock jock who doesn't have the intelligence of George Will or Krauthammer or Dan Rather or Anderson Cooper. I mean, those are experienced journalists. I mean, a guy like Anderson Cooper. Look at a man like that. Look at the brains, the education. His ratings don't reflect his true genius. I mean, if Aristotle had a television show today, he'd have low ratings, too. That's why he has low ratings, because he's so brilliant.
Savage.
You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
You've been very critical of Herman Cain's 999 plan. Will his plan raise taxes? In fact, you said it would destroy the economy. Why? Mr. Cain, a lot of prominent conservatives now are coming forward saying that your 999 plan would actually raise taxes. Congressman Paul, you called his plan dangerous today. Governor Perry, you have said that Governor Romney was an abject failure in creating jobs when he was governor of Massachusetts.
Let me just point out for a second that maximizing bickering is probably not the road to the White House.
Good evening, everyone. We are coming to you live from Cairo tonight from an undisclosed location. I can't tell you where we are, frankly, for our own safety. There's a lot of journalists now who've kind of gone to ground here in Cairo, and that's the situation we're facing. There's a lot to tell you about what is happening tonight. I don't mind telling you, I am a little bit scared because we frankly don't really know what the next few hours will hold. And I think there's a lot of people who are scared tonight in Egypt. I think there are people in that square who are frightened for their lives. This is the second night of a full-on assault.
I don't think that people have to, you know, come out and say I am oriented in one direction or the other. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit of a cynic. So you know, I've been in daytime television a long time.
And so do you think he came out for another reason?
Well, he's a daytime talk show host. And when the ratings slip in daytime, the hosts tend to tell you lots of things about them. I remember Oprah said she smoked crack. Oprah said she was pregnant at 14 and considered suicide. There were times that you generate information for ratings. And, whoa, I'm sorry that I said that. But, you know, I say bravo.
So he has to pull out the final card now that his ratings are in the toilet. He's about to be fired. He has to pull that about his personal life. That's to make him more interesting. He announces a thing like that. Suddenly I'm interested in Anderson Cooper. The guy's a schmendrick. He has nothing to say. He's dumb. He's dumb. I don't care what his sexual orientation is. He's a dummy. Give me an ugly, bald guy who's gay or not gay. I'll listen to him. What does it matter that he's cute and he wears tight jeans? Just a dummy. That's why he has low ratings. People are not that dumb. Necessarily, comma, all the time. Mencken. So what do you want to talk about? You want to talk about discipline? Weak, 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 weak. His statements are weak. They're mush. No thought, no mental discipline. My father used to yell at me if I didn't tell the truth about something. He would say to me, He would demand the truth. Now, I can't say I'm truthful to everybody. I would be lying to you if I said that. Who's truthful to everybody? What, are you an idiot? You know? But I'm saying to you, by and large, he made me answer him, and he made me answer as truthfully as I knew. He would say, no, not that. I want the answer. Or he'd make me, if I'd ask him a question, he'd say to me, you figure it out. I don't know how to figure it out. I couldn't think. I didn't know how to think as a kid. Children don't know how to think. Don't you understand that? They're like emotional creatures. He taught me how to think. He would show me A to B to C to D. He taught me Aristotelian logic. He was not a college-educated man, but he was smart. So he taught me how to think. That's the greatest gift you can give a child. And unfortunately, you have tens of millions of people in America who cannot think. They are taught not to think in school. They are taught to regurgitate the party line. So how are you disciplined? Who is the most disciplined caller on the show today? Who got disciplined the worst? Anyone up there? Huh? Frank in New York, WOR. Go ahead. You'll lead the parade. How were you disciplined?
My father disciplined us when we were kids.
But how?
Harshly. He hit us with the belt.
Belt?
He hit us with the belt, with the hand, but...
Wait, hold on. I'm not going to make... Now, I want to ask you something, and it's not meant to deride your ethnic group. Are you Italian?
Very Italian, yes, sir.
Because for some reason, the Italians of that generation were into the belt.
But can I tell you the integrity of my father, though?
Sure.
When I was very young and I didn't understand him, he said to me, Frank, I realized that what I'm doing in anger and not in love. I didn't understand what the hell that meant. So he said, I swear to God, I'm never going to hit you again. But he was still a very angry man. Now,
I don't understand. Did he stop hitting you after that? Or he kept hitting you anyway.
He stopped hitting me because he realized that he was doing it while he was losing his temper and not doing it in a composed manner for my own. All right, let's say.
The bottom line is this. You were beaten with a belt and it made you a better person. What did your mother say? What did your mother say when he said, I'm going to belt you on?
Well, my mother was crazy, too, so she sort of enjoyed it.
oh, come on. What, she joined in? She hit you with a mortadella?
My mother used to beat me with a soap dish. She used to chase me through the house.
Oh, a mild beating. That was very compassionate, very, very maternal of her. I think you had a hell of an upbringing. What did you become? Are you an enforcer for one of the Gambino? I mean, what do you do in New York?
I'm a landlord who owns property. I also have a full time job.
Yeah, I can just imagine. Frank, come on, seriously. But you didn't raise your children with a belt, did you?
No. I'm trying to get to the part of the story where it highlights the necessity between me and my brothers and my sisters. I went to live with my father when I was 15 years old because of differences with my mother. Now, my brother and my sister stayed with my mother. Now, this also highlights the horror of divorce, because
right.
My mother and my father had such bad blood between them, and
right.
My mother didn't want to, quote-unquote, lose another child to my father. She stopped disciplining at all. Whatever these kids wanted, they got, no matter what they did.
And how did they wind up, the undisciplined siblings?
My brother sits at home smoking pot all day. My sister can't get along with any man, and she's living right... probably next to you somewhere in San Francisco.
I can just imagine. I think she just cut me off on the highway here.
It's probably true.
I had a bigger, faster car. I mean, it was shocking. It was like your sister, like that type. She had a vendetta to pass me. Crazy, coming down Bay Street where no one passes. She hated me because I had a bigger, faster, more beautiful car. One of those. She went in the opposite lane to try and cut me off. I wouldn't let her.
Good. She needs.
No, that's what the V12 is for. I'm not going to let her cut me off. So I sped up. She got stuck out there. Then she speeds around me on the right lane, and then disappears and makes a sharp right to get away. You know what? A lot of people who do that on the highway, road rage. You know what they do, Frank? This is a little off the topic. Have you ever noticed they realize they were crazy and then they jut away, realizing that they were just nuts?
And they won't make eye contact with you.
No, it was shocking. I looked in the mirror. There was like a crazy woman barreling down in a Honda. If she was in a Prius with an Obama sticker, I could understand it. It wasn't even a Prius with an Obama sticker. It was a lunatic, probably worked for the city. Probably the DA herself. Frank, thanks for the call. I have no idea what the point was, but I appreciate it. Well, he was disciplined, and he turned out well. His siblings were not disciplined with a stick or a belt in their potheads. Okay, that's good. Look, let's not lose sight of the story. It appeared in the local newspaper today. Spanking ups risk of mental disorders. Now, I never spanked my children, but they did a study. As a child, how often would you ever push, grab, shove, slapped, or hit by your parents or any adult living in your house? Here it's called child abuse. But in certain households, particularly ethnic households of certain kinds, they use physical punishment regularly. For better or for worse, culturally acceptable. Asian, Middle Eastern, African. Corporal punishment described as deeply ingrained in Confucian culture. Caning used in Singapore. So the question is, how do you provide healthy limits and such on children without hurting them? How do you shape their behavior? How do you shape their behavior when they're running around with an iPhone and they're all id, to use a Freudian phrase that is lost on the masses today? The child today has no superego. It's all id. It's impulse. If it feels good, do it. All they want to do is get stoned or drunk and have sex. You say, not a bad idea, but it's not a joke. That's why we have so many tens of millions of people who are ignoramuses. They come out of college. College. I went to college. They can't add. They cannot write cursively. They can't do anything, and yet they get mad when they take their first job because it's a lowly job. It's all they're fit for. And so, therefore, it's all based upon the fact that we have a permissive culture. As you know, China is still a very, very highly disciplined society. And look how well they're doing. Take a look at what we're teaching our children today. A local high school in Marin County just spent millions of dollars not to build a new computer lab, not to build the most advanced science laboratories, but to build a theater so more of the jerks could put on tights and be thespians. That gives you some idea of the mental thinking here in the San Francisco Bay Area, that the child should be an actor, run around in tights. Nothing wrong with being an actor, but a society can only use so many actors, right? There's only so many actors that you can use. Where are we supposed to get all of the trained, technically advanced, scientifically knowledgeable individuals? I guess we can bring them in from India and China and give them B-1B visas. Huh? Is that what you want? A nation of imbeciles. So is discipline related to imbecility, or a lack of discipline related to imbecility? That is the question. It really turns around on that question. Is discipline related to social imbecility, or the lack of discipline related to social imbecility? That is the question. You know, it's interesting. Spare the rod and spoil the child. I never used the rod because I didn't want to traumatize my children. They don't like me anyway. So you see, you can't win anyway. They still have. Here's the thing you got to understand as a parent. No matter what you do, they're not going to like you. Symbol shot. It's a simple theorem. No matter how you raise the child, at least one out of two is not going to like you. If you're lucky, it's one out of two. They'll say you were this, you were that, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, you looked at me the wrong way, you weren't there at the soccer game, and I needed you at that particular second. You may have been in the hospital, but they only see that you weren't at the soccer game because they think you're God, you're all-knowing, and that you should be able to, you know, take care of their every emotional need. That's the way it is. Parents are gods to children, and as gods, we fail them. Just as God fails us, I know now we're shifting into the theology, just as God fails man, because man wants more from God than he's able to give each of us, parents will fail children. So you can't take it personally. You have to understand that you're not going to be a perfect parent, and the parent who tries too hard to be the child's friend is really not doing that child a favor. I don't say be their enemy, but you know, you got to be a parent. I don't go for the man running around with the shorts and the ball 24/7 where he's his son's best friend. The son needs a father. He has friends from school. Try not to be his best friend. Try to be his father. That's harder. It's much harder to be his father than it is to be his best friend. And that's why so many men today think that just playing ball with the kid is enough. I'm not saying it's bad. It's a nice thing to do. But then they need you to discipline them. The homework, whatever, okay? It's a hard job. The hardest job on earth being a father. The second hardest, well, I would say it's as hard as being a mother. I don't know. The mother has it much harder. I think the mother today has it much harder than the father. Traditionally, it's been true anyway. The women bear more pain than men do. You don't have pity for women. I know they don't want to hear it, but truthfully, the woman bears so much pain. And all you got to do is look at the biology of it. I mean, giving birth has to be one of the most painful experiences a human being can go through. And yet women do it. Women can handle it. Men could probably not handle that level of pain. Women are actually made to bear that pain, would you believe it or not. Men couldn't handle it. It's a different sort of thing that men are made to bear than that type of physical pain. And so women are by inherent nature, they're stronger than men, which is why they outlive us. Women, the weaker sex, the kinder sex. It's not true. Women are tougher. Biologically, they're tougher because they have to bear children. And to bear a child requires tremendous physical strength. And that physical strength carries over into older age. Now, you know, this is all collateral stuff. I've gotten off the track from the discipline, and no one's listening. Even though the boards are jammed, there's like 12 people listening today.
Savage.
Great topic, this whole thing of how to discipline a child. I mean, they say, yeah, you discipline them, they get mentally ill. You know, how about if you don't discipline them and they just run amok? Look what they wind up. Look how they wind up. So it's the balance. Who knows what the balance is, particularly a societal and this and that, you know. Hey, Mike, I discipline my kids pretty good. They all turn out good, Mike. One just graduated Corcoran after a 10-year stint. Oh, yeah, the other one's in San Quentin. He'll be getting out soon. Yeah, they all turn out good, Mike. Yeah, real men. Cat lady's more likely to commit suicide, scientists claim. This is a weird story out of the Telegraph of London from the Journal of Psychiatry. Women who own cats are more likely to have mental health problems and commit suicide because they can be infected by a common parasite that can be caught from cat litter. Ugh, I hate cats. I mean, they're pretty looking, and I know I'm stepping on... I don't like houses with cats in them. I'm allergic to cats. Researchers found women affected with the Toxoplasma gondii parasite, T. gondii. So if you read it, it's G-O-N-D-I-I. The Latin is gondii. It's from my botanical Latin days. It's spread through contact with cat faeces, or eating undercooked meat or unwashed vegetables. So girls, if you're eating raw around cat litter boxes. Study involved more than 45,000 women in Denmark. About a third of the world's population is infected with the parasite, which hides in cells in the brain and muscles. The infection, which is called toxoplasmosis, has been linked to mental illness such as schizophrenia and changes in behavior. And they quote the study, association between the infection and suicide attempts later in life that warrant additional studies. So, obviously, you don't want to be around cat litter. And this whole idea of eating raw is insane, by the way. Madness. Humans can become infected by changing their infected cat's litter boxes, eating unwashed vegetables, drinking water from a contaminated source, or more commonly by eating undercooked or raw meat that is infested with cysts. Ugh. See, I'm not into that raw meat thing. Not washing kitchen knives after preparing raw meat before handling another food item can also lead to infection, girls. Pregnant women can pass the parasite directly to their unborn babies and advise not to change cat litter boxes to avoid possible infection. My recommendation is if you have babies, don't have cats, by the way. Animals are dirty to begin with. You take a dog out, Mr. Fluffy. Oh, he's cute, he's beautiful, he's wonderful. You take him out, you know what he's licking? You have any idea what he's doing with that mouth of his? Oh, look at me. Look how cute. Then you take him in the bed with you after he stuck his nose in the most disgusting thing on the earth. I mean, the Muslims are not wrong in some ways, you know. And they're filthy animals. So, I mean, when I take my little guy out, even after a bath, the first thing he does is ruin the bath. Makes himself a horror. 2 minutes, he's dirty again. Rubs in bushes. He gets excited. He goes against the bush. He can't just relieve himself. He's got to rub in the bush. I got to take him back and wash him again. It's horrible. I don't know what to do with him. I can't discipline him. He wouldn't understand it. You know, they're limited in how you can discipline the guys. I wash his nose when I come in. Like, I take kitchen paper. I know it's crazy with, like, warm water. And I talk to him. I said, look, you're dirty. You're a dog. You can't help it. All right. I can't help it. I'm a dog. That's what I do. What do you want from me? I'm not a man. I go out, I lick it. That's right. That's what I do. Leave me alone. Take the paper, rub my mouth, and leave me alone. I rub the mouth, the feet, the schmendrick, and then, all right, now you're clean. Yeah, I'm clean. What do you know, he says to me with his eyes. I'm not clean. All you did was rub it around, idiot. You could have left me alone. Teddy and I have these imaginary mental conversations. Austin, Texas. Andy, we have almost no time. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, I was disciplined both ways, with the belt and also verbally. And I found the verbal one stuck with me a lot longer.
I agree. I think verbal abuse is worse than the belt.
Well, did
I think truthfully, the verbal abuse and mental games on a child can really hurt them more than hitting them. None of us know where we're going, but we all know where we came from, I can tell you that. And that's been said before, but not exactly the way I'm going to say it. You know, and I know, that I'm always working on something other than the radio show. So right now I'm working on my memoirs called Train Tracks, which will be out after the election when you're bored out of your mind. And it's my childhood stories with stories you've never written. Some of them have been published before, but most of it will be brand new, which will be out next Christmas from Harper. So my sister, I asked all my relatives to send me pictures of my childhood because I want to put a number of them in my book, right? Now listen to this. You got to hear this for a reason. I'm not just chatting. There's a point to it. Trust me. I get a bunch of pictures. One of them is of me with a pair of pants that is at least six times too big, cut off at the knee. So I said, holy God, you know, when I wrote Dead Man's Pants, many people thought I was exaggerating. Savage.